Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Monday, December 23rd. I'm Ray Graff. Support for Medical Monday comes from Saratoga Hospital, working to bring doctors closer together to collaborate and closer to the hospital to improve patient care. I trust SaratogaHospital.org for information. Joining us this afternoon to answer your podiatric questions is Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. Dr. Tooman is a popular guest, and we always get plenty of calls when he's with us. So call early, and the number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Dr. Tooman and your foot calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello, once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. In the studio this afternoon to discuss podiatry and its related surgeries is Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates. Dr. Tooman has been practicing podiatry in the Kingston area for more than 30 years. He's a graduate of the Illinois College of Podiatric Medicine and a diplomate of the American Board of Podiatric Surgeons. He is also board certified in foot surgery and a fellow of the American College of Foot and Ankle Surgeons. He's also an avid marathon runner, and if you'd like to participate in today's discussion, give us a shout. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Again, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number is 800-348-2551. Dr. Douglas Tooman, welcome back, sir.
Thank you, Ray. Glad to be here. May I wish all the listeners a happy holiday, happy Hanukkah, and Merry Christmas to everyone. We're in that season.
It sure is the season. And now, I know that you're based in Kingston, but how many places do you have locations for Hudson Valley Foot Associates?
We have a number. I've lost count.
Really? That's busy.
I started in Kingston in 1986, yeah. And I personally go to Kingston and Hudson 2 days a week, Hudson, New York.
Yeah.
And then we have an office in Coxsackie. And then we also travel out to some unserved areas like Margaretville. And we go across to Red Hook and then down to Newburgh and New Windsor and Wappingers Falls.
What drew you to this specified interest in feet?
It's a good question, Ray. Well, first of all, I was a runner in college, so I would run a lot. And my brother actually became a podiatrist 4 years before I did. And when we were young, we both had plantar warts and ingrowing toenails. We went to the foot doctor, and my father said, this is a good business. And I was told I should be a doctor or a lawyer, so I chose podiatry.
Yeah, not bad. You know, it seems to me that there are now so many high-tech running shoes. In your experience, have you seen less as far as runners who come in and say, you know what, I've got this ailment, I think it's shoe-related, is the shoe technology improving feet?
Well, that's a wonderful question. It goes around about and all the way back to the beginning and then around again.
Yeah.
So it's gone from shoes with increased cushions and shock absorption, and now, well, 5, 7, 10 years ago, it went to the Vibram five-finger shoes with nothing on them, and that caused a lot of injuries.
Ah.
And now there are running shoes that are what's called zero drop, which are fairly flat, and then there are shoes that are wide toes. And so you run the gamut, but I love running shoes. It's my favorite shoe to recommend to everybody for everyday wear.
So you're not out there in the PF Flyers or
the Converse
All-Stars
or the Chuck Taylors?
Yeah, no?
No, I don't recommend those, but a lot of people do wear them, especially teenagers these days.
It's funny, you know, we all had the high top. Mm-hmm. Chucky T's back in the old days. And I tried one. I don't remember whether my kids had it or whatever. They're so flat. Mm-hmm. It's not this. I can't believe as kids we would run around in those things.
Oh, they made us jump higher and run faster and all that stuff. And the marketing worked. And unfortunately, it wasn't the best shoe. But for whatever reason, it's on like kids in my family's Christmas list.
They're comfortable to walk around in.
Right.
I just wouldn't want to be doing a long distance running in.
Exactly.
How many bones are in a foot?
26 in each foot. 52 total, which makes up over 25% of all the bones in your body.
Really?
Yeah, it's remarkable. And there's only two bones in the leg, one bone in the thigh, but you get to the foot, there's 26. So
what's the most problematic bone?
Most problematic bone is the heel bone. Gets a lot of heel pain because it's only one bone, the back portion of your foot. So there's so many, you know, plantar fasciitis patients and heel spur patients.
Now you've said the magic word. You know how many calls we'll get on that now.
Plantar fasciitis. It's a biggie.
Well, you ready to take some calls?
I am.
All right. The number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates joins us today on Medical Monday, and we go to Laura in New Paltz. Hello, Laura.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I wish you both a very happy holiday.
You too.
I have a very general, I mean, I'm asking in a general way. I know in order to fix a problem, each individual foot is different. But a lot of dancers, particularly ballet, when you're young, a lot of times they put you on toe too young, and it kind of deforms that bone there, and people get arthritis, they get bunions. And I've actually gone to dance studios as I got older to look at these people's feet, and they all look like mine. And I was just wondering, as a general consensus, is there some general way to heal that sort of injury from being put on toe too young? I don't know how better to describe it.
Well, Laura, you bring up a good point because we do see so many dancers, and happy holiday to you as well. And I always, when the young girls come in and they have these bunions developing and bunionettes on the outside and the bunions on the inside and the toes getting deformed, I always ask them, are you going on toe at this young age? And many of them do, and they want to progress. But most good instructors keep them off a point until they're at a certain age. But even with that, it's so much pressure on joints, and the joints actually do deform. And I always ask some people that come in when they're a little bit older, I said, were you a dancer when you were younger? And many of them say, yes. But there really is no way. Once you have the deformity, certainly eliminating the dance and going on point is going to help eliminate discomfort and prevent further progression of the deformity. But really no way to, you know, have that deformity resolve itself with time. You can massage and you can stretch and you can push, and that can help a little bit. But, you know, good question. But damage is done, so to speak. Barn door is open.
Okay. Well, Laura, thanks a lot for the call. What is a bunion?
A bunion. Great question, Ray. A bunion is the big toe joint starting to splay outwards. So the area that's behind the toe starts to protrude. So most people think it's a bigger bone. But actually what happens is your first metatarsal, which is the bone behind your big toe, starts to move outward like the hand of a clock.
Why does it do that?
It's heredity mostly.
Okay.
So some people, it's the flat foot, but usually grandma had a bunion or mom had a bunion.
Yeah.
And it gets passed
grandma
on.
Grandma had a bunion. That's an old holiday favorite we like to sing around the house.
So heredity is a big part of that. And then it starts to protrude. And it slowly grows over time, and we fix a lot of them. We realign it. The old days, good question. They used to, in the old days, many years ago, to shave the bump off. That's not the way it's done nowadays. Mm. That did not resolve the deformity.
Yeah.
And a lot of people got recurrences. Now we move the bone over. We put these little tiny screws on the inside and prevent them coming back.
How do people get flat feet? I remember hearing, you know, Uncle Frank, he was 4F for WW2. He had flat feet. What is that, and how does that happen?
So much of foot issues are heredity.
Yeah.
Except when you get older, you can lose your arch from weak tendons and other things. But when you're young, it's not such a big deal. But if you walk a certain way where you roll your foot in, it's going to actually break down. Gravity is always on us.
Yeah.
Gravity never loses. So combinations of things. But mostly when you're young and have flat feet, not terrible. It used to keep people out of the army. But nowadays it doesn't. And there are great arch supports and orthotics that support them.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest today. Laura in Bennington. Laura, you're on.
Hi. That's interesting. Thank you for talking to me about this. I had some beginning foot problems about 15 years ago. I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, and I had a real sensitivity. Well, the whole time, I had a real sensitivity on the tops of my feet, like the hem of my pants, where I couldn't stand the feeling of the hem rubbing against the top of my foot. And now I feel like on my right foot, it's getting worse. And I feel like maybe the tendon on top of the foot is like running against the nerve. Does that make sense?
It does, Laura, and certainly fibromyalgia sets you up for many different types of things. So that's the underlying challenge that you have. So what you're talking about are nerve issues on the top of the foot, it sounds like. So what happens is on the bottom of the foot, you know, you have a lot of padding and protection. On the top of the foot, the nerves are very superficial. So we have a lot of patients that, you know, you can drop something on your foot and you can damage a nerve, or you can wear a shoe and lace it too tight and damage the nerve. And even in your case, just the hem of a pant leg can make your nerve sensitive. So you might want to raise your pant legs up a little bit.
That'll work.
So
that
would
help
a
little bit.
I always roll them up.
But you're going to have to find shoes that don't rub because those nerves are hypersensitive. Now, you can do things, you know, for example, you can rub some lidocaine gel you can get in the pharmacy on top of your foot, and that might desensitize nerves a little bit. But it is an ongoing challenge, and anything that's going to rub on top of your foot is going to create sensitivity. Sometimes it does heal, but with fibromyalgia, you never know how you respond to those things. It is a challenge.
Yeah. I was just wondering if I always wonder if I have something else, you know, but that's if it goes in line with that, then
sometimes there are some things. There are some bony deformities that push the nerves up higher, and sometimes there's some nerve entrapment syndromes. So if you haven't been to a podiatrist, you may want to get that checked out. I'm not sure how much we can help, but it's certainly worth looking at.
Laura, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Doug Tooman is our guest, and we talk podiatric medicine on the program today. It's 800-348-2551. We'll be right back. Bit more of the Chris Payson Christmas music we heard on Friday as well. Great trumpet player, and nice to have that holiday music on Vox Pop. It's Medical Monday today. Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest from Hudson Valley Foot Associates. The number is 800-348-2551. We go over to Jim in Matamoros. Jim, you're on.
Are older people more susceptible to Achilles tendon rupture?
Hi, Jim. That's a good question. The answer is anybody's susceptible. I mean, you could be an athlete on a professional basketball game and tear your Achilles. You can be on an antibiotic, which actually can make you vulnerable to Achilles tendon ruptures.
Yeah. What happens there?
Well, there's a couple of antibiotics like Levaquin and ciprofloxacin that will actually injure Achilles tendons. And seniors,
in what way?
And it's just the reaction to the medicine. It bothers muscles and tendons. It causes tendinopathies. And so we have to be careful with that. But in general, yeah, I think older people are a little more vulnerable just because the circulation issues and their lack of flexibility and things like that. So, but in general, I think everybody's somewhat vulnerable. And I don't see too many older people more than younger people with Achilles tendon issues, Jim.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks,
thank
Jim.
You.
We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551, the number. Dr. Douglas Tooman is the guest, and Susan is in Amherst. Susan.
Yes, hi, Dr. Tooman. I have a hallux rigidus on my right foot and a nice calcified mountain that's been growing on that knuckle. And my podiatrist wants to do an implant, and I just would like your opinion on the success of implants.
All right, stop for just a moment. Hallux rigidus, what is it?
Good question. I was going to answer that. And Susan, thank you for bringing that up. Hallux rigidus, if we go back to the bunions, it's in the bunion family.
Okay.
It's not an official bunion. It's the big toe joint. And instead of developing a bunion on the inside where it protrudes, it becomes arthritic. So ordinarily, the big toe joint should bend like a hinge joint, about 65 degrees. And the hallux rigidus means it's not giving you any flexibility at all.
Gotcha.
And painful in the joint for a lot of people. So there are different approaches for hallux rigidus, Susan. And one would be an implant, another would be a fusion, another would be a joint cleanup or what's called a chylectomy. And of course, prior to that surgical stuff, there are cortisone injections, orthotics, change of shoe gear. But it is up to the surgeon. In our practice, we use more fusion procedures where we put the two joints together versus the implant. We used to do more implants. Now we do more fusions. And what that means, an implant is like a knee replacement. It's a replacement of the toe joint. But they do wear out, and you don't get great function with it. So we do a fusion which puts the two bones together, and it makes it so that you'll never have another problem. So, and again, if it's not horribly painful and it's just on top, sometimes we do a cleanup and see how you do. And if we have to go back again, we'll fuse or implant, but mostly fusions. Nothing wrong with an implant, Susan. It's just the doctor's preference. We prefer fusions, and it's an academic argument. Does that help?
So does the fusion, yeah, sure. Does the fusion, then my motion would still be restricted, right? I would still not have flexibility in that toe.
Correct. And you won't have much flexibility with the implant either. They say you do, but you really don't. Where you get the motion from is the joint past the big toe joint and the one behind it. So it'll be walking like you're walking, but without pain, and it will be a forever correction with the fusion. And it might be a forever correction with the implant, too. They just wear down at some point in many patients.
All right, Susan, thanks a lot for the call. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates is our guest. Chuck is in Hudson. Chuck, you're on.
How you doing, doctor? How do you spell your last name?
Chuck, my last name is Tooman, T-U-M-E-N.
T-U-M-A-N?
Okay. E-N, T-U-M-E-N.
And then I was wondering, you're over on Fish and Game, Game Road over in Hudson?
Yes, our office in Hudson is on Fish and Game Road. Yep.
And do you cover vets?
We do. We cover vets and just about everybody, seniors, kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Chuck, thanks a lot for the call. The number is 800-348-2551. And now we go to Chris in Greenfield, Massachusetts. Chris.
Hi. Doctor, thanks for taking my call. I was born with accessory navicular, and I never had any problems until I retired. And once I retired, I started playing hockey and hiking regularly, and then it was really bothering. So I had a kidney procedure done, and they took care of it. That was on my right foot. My question is, and then I'll listen to your answer and hang up. My question is, my left foot is starting to show some symptoms of irritation with my hockey and hiking. Can I anticipate having to have a second procedure done?
Okay. Thanks, Chris. What, first of all, accessory?
Okay. Navicular.
Yeah.
So remember those 26 bones?
Yeah.
That's a 27th bone for some people.
Oh.
Some people have extra bones. It's an accessory bone on the inside of your foot.
Interesting.
So it's right in the middle of your foot in the side, and unfortunately it can become big, it become injured, it's an extra bone, and sometimes—
Can you take it out?
We remove them, and there's no long-term sequelae from that.
Yeah.
You can function just fine. However, on your other foot, if you said you retired, so you're not a child anymore, so that's a good sign that you'd be able to live with this forever. You may want to look into, Chris, getting a pair of orthotics to support your foot and making sure your shoes are nice and wide. There's a brand I like called Altra, A-L-T-R-A, which is a very wide shoe that'll fit that navicular bone a little better.
Mm.
And with a good orthotic that's customized maybe from a podiatrist, you might be able to stave off any procedures necessary. But I don't know, because you didn't stand in line, if there was an x-ray, if you had that extra bone on the other foot too.
Okay.
So hopefully you don't need that procedure.
Is it odd for people to have the extra bone in both feet?
No. Once you have it on one, it's often common to have it on the other.
Okay.
Good question.
And now, are there orthotic hockey skates? Can you get that sort of thing?
You can, because what we do is we'll take either a ski boot or a hockey skate, and we'll send it off to the laboratory, and we'll have them make it so it just goes into that shoe, and it can stay in there. Most orthotics, you can move from shoe to shoe. But with ski boots or hockey skates, we usually tell you, leave them in there, because we make them special.
Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest today on this Medical Monday. The number is 800-348-2551. Bill is in Chestertown. Hello, Bill. You're on.
How are you doing?
Good.
I have a question about my 16-year-old son appears to have what is a bunion on the outside of his foot, and it's very painful. What caused it, and what can we do to fix it?
Good question. So if it's on the outside of the foot, it would be in the family of a bunion. We'd call it a mini bunion, a Taylor bunion, or a bunionette. It goes by all of those names. And that usually, again, Bill, is more hereditary than anything he did to cause that. And, you know, certainly you start off with wide shoes, some pads, things like that. If that doesn't work, we have to x-ray it in most cases and see if it's really protruding and if it needs to be shifted inwards. Because if he's only 16 and he's already having pain, you know, that's something that'll, you know, give him a problem for a long time to
come. How do you shift it inward?
Well, good question. We don't give our secrets. No.
Okay.
Just kidding.
All right. Fair enough. So take a hammer and just go to town. Yeah. Good for you.
So what we do is we actually, it's a very easy procedure for us to do. We actually do what's called an osteotomy, which is a small, simple cut in the bone, and we angle it in so that it's now pushed in as opposed to the bunion on the other side. We take a little tiny screw and we hold it inside and it'll stay inside forever if that's the case.
Bill, you want to follow up?
Do those pads that they sell work? Or
they might give them relief as far as comfort. It won't resolve the deformity, Bill.
Right. I did that. Okay.
Yeah. So I would try that and see how he does. He's only 16. See if he can live with it. And if he can't, then at some point before he goes off to college.
He plays a lot of sports right now. I mean, obviously,
it's hard.
In a couple years, that'll all change, I'm sure. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Bill. We appreciate the call. Dr. Doug Tooman is our guest. And let's see who's been waiting longest. Looks like Debbie in Schenectady. Debbie.
Hi there. Yes, I have another question about bunions.
Hooray.
Is there anything other than bunion surgery that can help with bunion discomfort? In other words, I would prefer, I'm a little bit of a baby. I really don't want to have surgery. And I don't, you know, I'm hoping I can, I'm 63, so I'm hoping I can just get through life without bunion surgery. I do like to hike and use my feet a lot, which is, I think, why I'm concerned about surgery. I don't want things to go, to get worse. And that's my other question is, can bunion surgery ever result in more pain or difficulty than the actual bunions were? Should I wait until I just can't walk to have bunion surgery?
Well, those are really good questions. And Debbie, first thing is I would go and get a good evaluation by a good foot surgeon, a good podiatrist, so that you can have your bunion staged radiographically. Is it just the bunion? Is there arthritis? So that's one thing. And certainly you can take the advice and put it off, or you can move forward. You might be able to, again, get wider width shoes. You might be able to get some bunion pads or gel sleeves to go over the area. Sometimes a simple cortisone injection can alleviate discomfort over the area if there's inflammation. So those are some things you can do conservatively. There are some gels or creams you can rub on. So lots of conservative things you can try. However, waiting until it's super painful may put you in a category where you've developed arthritis, and it may not be in your best interest. I understand the fear. Many patients are fearful about their foot because we like to do things.
Yeah.
It requires our feet to do them. But a good qualified surgeon, and we call the guy in our practice a bunionologist. He's so good at fixing bunions that Dr. Keller is so amazing at them. It's just a good foot surgeon will make your foot better, and it will prolong your ability. I get thank yous from all over the country and the world, people hiking and things like that, that they are appreciative that they can do at senior ages because they fix their feet. So it's a tough call. You want to live with things as long as you can, like a bad knee, but also you want to be smart about it so you can move forward. But in general, there's never, I can't say never, there's rarely a case where somebody's made worse unless there's a severe complication, which shouldn't happen.
All right, Debbie, thanks a lot for the call. What is the recovery time? In other words, how long will, if Debbie had the bunion, whatever you call it, bunionectomy or whatever you call it, how long will she be off her feet?
Good question. Mild, moderate, severe, it depends. Mild bunions, you're walking, you know, after surgery in a surgical shoe or boot.
Yep.
Moderate bunions, we have you walking within a couple of weeks.
So your feet up for a couple of weeks?
No. You're either on a surgical boot or something, sometimes on crutches, depending if it's severe. But by 2 to 3 weeks, we try to get many of our patients back into a shoe or a sneaker.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly by 6 to 8 weeks, returning even to athletics or walking, hiking.
So fairly quick.
Fairly quick for most patients, yeah.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest. And now let's go over to Wappingers Falls and Valerie. Valerie, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question is about ingrown toenails. And I have my toenails are wanting to do that, much to my dismay. And I know my dad had them. And I try to keep them trimmed, you know, straight and, you know, best I can. Here's the wrinkle. I have neuropathy in my feet, which is pretty bad. So my concern was if there's anything to be done with it, you know, is it going to hurt like heck?
Valerie, great questions. I have to tell you, I will share with you that people come back to my office. I've been practicing for well over 30 years. And no matter what they're coming in for, they always start the conversation, "The best thing you ever did for me was fixing my ingrowing toenails." And they're not bathroom surgeons anymore. The neuropathy won't have any influence on future discomfort. And quite frankly, when people have neuropathy and ingrown toenails usually hurt worse. And it's a relief to get the ingrowing toenail not pressing on the skin structures and the nerve endings. So what we do in our office, and people don't realize you can do this, you can not only remove an ingrowing toenail, but you can remove it and prevent it from ever coming back again.
Yes.
So we cauterize the root at the base of the toenail where the nail grows from, just like a hair has a follicle. And we make it so it's a one and done and forever gone procedure. So I would highly recommend you see somebody. By the way, we do have an office in Wappingers Falls, and I know you're calling from there. So feel free
to. Right, I heard.
Yep. So anyway, you would love having them removed, never having to deal with them again. It would probably make you feel better in now and forever.
Right. It doesn't hurt after. I mean, if they do it, it's going to hurt. Well, my feet hurt anyway. So.
I can't remember ever prescribing pain medications afterwards. It's a simple, for a toenail, ingrowing toenail, simple soaking, and you know, you have daily care. You take a Tylenol or an Advil. So no, it's actually a relief. And yes, you can have some post-op discomfort. It's minor, but it's never worse. It's always feeling better.
Valerie, thanks a lot for the call. Now, in your experience, are many ingrown toenail cases caused by people who improperly trim their toenails?
It's a percentage.
Yeah.
I would say it's not the high percentage. In kids, sometimes it could be. But
what's the highest percentage?
It's usually deformity or injury.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have deformities where the nails just don't grow properly. The nail is too big for the skin it sits on, family history. And injuries cause a lot of you drop something on your toe and all of a sudden you have an ingrowing toenail coming on. Also, nails change. They get thick later in life.
Yes.
Fungus toenails, and that can cause ingrowing toenails.
Our guest today is Dr. Douglas Tooman. It's Medical Monday. We talk foot surgery and foot ailments today on the program. And now we go to Colony and Abdul. You're on.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm a father of triplets.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
My daughter, they're 13-year-old. My daughter just recently, I find out she got a flat feet. My other son has got an eczema. He's itching himself for no reason. It gets all red. And the one that was born the first time, we call him the big son, he's got some type of pain on his back sometimes.
Hmm.
So the question that I have, his mother has ovarian cancer. Do you think that any of those things is related to, because I know they follow the genes, do you think any of those things is related to her?
Oh, that's a loaded question.
That's a tough question to answer.
So, yeah, certainly, I mean, just to be off the bat, ovarian cancer has nothing to do with any of the foot issues. I know you're not necessarily asking that. And they each have, you have the trifecta, each has their own issues. You know, for your daughter with flat feet, if not all flat feet are bad, if they're painful, please see a podiatrist and see about getting her good orthotics, arch supports. The one with the eczema, you may want to just differentiate that from athlete's foot fungus and get on the right medication that can clear up. And the one with the back pain, if that child also has flat feet can cause back pain as well, or it could be something different. But flat feet and back pain often go together.
Uh-huh.
But nothing to do with your wife's present illness, and I'm sorry for that, and I wish you a happy holiday and a healthier new year.
Thank you very much, Abdul, for the call. It's 800-348-2551. Dr. Douglas Tooman is our guest today on the program, and Mark is in Salem, New York. Hello, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Dr. Tooman, as I heard you mention zero-drop shoes in the beginning, it really piqued my interest. I'm a quite an active hiker, and within it's common knowledge within the long-distance hiking community, long trails, through hikers, these zero-drop shoes, and you mentioned the brand Ultra. It's very popular. Well, I transitioned to them a couple of years ago, and I'll be honest, it seems like the greatest thing since sliced bread, the roomier, but I would just love to hear a professional's take, because there seems to be a lot of back and forth controversy whether the zero drops are good for you. But they're working for thousands of others, and I love them.
What's the zero drop mean?
Well, it means that there's no particular angle from the back of the foot to the front of the foot.
Flat.
Kind of flat.
Okay.
I'm wearing zero drop shoes as we speak, a pair of Ultras that I have. And I think they're fantastic. I certainly know people that have trouble transitioning to that. I don't think it's a big transition. I'm a big runner. I started running in them from the day I got them. And I try on different shoes. I do well in shoes that are not zero drop, and I do well in shoes that are zero drop. But I like them, and not to confuse too many people, it's just the way the foot functions. I think it's a great way to function. And, you know, in the old days, we had earth shoes and other things.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That. But I think it's great. Mostly what I love about the Ultras, Mark, is the fact that they're wide, and they really help keep feet healthy and non...
Yes.
So constrictive shoes, not necessarily the best thing.
Oh, no. They cause a lot of foot issues.
All right.
And this is a foot shape. It's actually designed by the foot shape. So keep on trekking, Mark.
Keep on trekking. I like it. Let's take a break. That was good. 800-348-2551 is the number. We are joined today by Dr. Douglas Tooman. We will be right back. Vox Pop Medical Monday. Ray Graff with you, 800-348-2551. Dr. Douglas Tooman of Hudson Valley Foot Associates, our guest today. And, Doc, thanks for the holiday gift here, your book, Ask the Foot Doctor. Very nice.
Well, thank you.
210 of the most commonly asked questions. Had I only looked through this before the show, I would have had some intelligent questions. I like this, though. What are the dangers of getting a pedicure? This is good. I have four daughters. I'd like to know the answer to this. Give me some good ammunition.
The dangers for dad.
Well, yeah.
In his pocketbook.
Sure.
But actually, it's a good question. And people go for pedicures, all the women mostly, men sometimes.
Yeah.
And the nail polish is actually toxic. It has formaldehyde, toluene, preservatives, and chemicals. And you put under occlusion without oxygen, and fungus can develop.
Ah.
Also, pedicurists tend to be a little harsh, pushing the nail backwards and traumatize the nail. Sometimes they cause ingrowing toenails, another cause of ingrowing nails.
Mm.
So I always recommend non-toxic antifungal nail polish. We have that in our office.
Really? You can get that stuff?
Nowadays, yes. We don't want anything with chemicals and causing fungus. Enough fungus in the world. One of the chapters, No Fun in Fungus.
This will be a good excuse for me to throw the 4,000 bottles of nail polish we have in my house away.
Good luck with that, Ray.
Yeah, right. This email came in from, I see, it's not her real name. Just call her Bernice.
Okay.
Bernice writes, at 72, with two prominent bunions forming a 90-degree angle, the other toes are neuropathic,
yep.
Gnarled and stiff. I limp badly these days. I saw an orthopedic surgeon to get the worst bunion repaired. He felt it was 20 years too late, but back then I could run. Apparently, he was also concerned about enough circulation for the incision to heal, but I am not diabetic, just overweight. Is there any way I can walk again? And that's from Bernice.
Hi, Bernice. Yeah, it's really challenging. And certainly the first thing we do when somebody is presented with circulation issues or concern before surgery, we send them to the vascular doctor, and the vascular doctor will let us know if they have enough circulation in their feet and they can undergo the procedure, non-invasive vascular testing. So you might want to get clearance from a vascular doctor and go back and try a podiatrist who specializes in foot surgery.
All right, Bernice, and happy holidays. Thank you for writing. Let's go to Mark in Salem. Mark.
Hi, Ray. We started off and then you cut me off.
Oh, I'm sorry. were you on before already?
No, but you answered the phone and then it just you went to somebody else named Mark.
Oh, I'll be dipped.
I am unfortunately the genetic equivalent. Both my parents had narrow feet. I'm almost 6 foot tall. I used to be taller, but I had a back operation. And I have A over triple A heel with a very high arch. And since my back operation, I've developed toe drop on my left foot. And the heel of my shoe, and I can only buy like one pair of shoes because nobody makes shoes for people like me. And it's chafing up and down, up and down. And I put some Dr. Scholl's things in, and at night I find that my heel is kind of raw. Is there anything that I can do to kind of help that besides, you know, going to Italy and having custom-made shoes?
No, it's a very challenging problem, Mark, and I feel for you. A high-arched foot with back problems and narrow feet. and chafing heels. You can try to get some moleskin and put it on the back of the shoe or even on your foot, or get some Band-Aids with some cushioning on it to protect you. Maybe go to a good shoe store and get a better fit, because that sliding up and down with that heel is going to be a challenge. You can also make sure you lace the very last eyelet of the shoe and do it from the same side. So come around the same side as opposed to going across. That'll pull the heel in a little bit. So those are some things to try, but some silicone gel, some moleskin padding, good shoes, you know.
What is moleskin?
That was my question.
It's a little felt padding that's thin that, you know, you can get in different. Look up moleskin pads. We put them on the ball of the foot. People that have thin skin on the ball of their foot, you can put in the back of your heel.
Why specifically the mole? That's my question.
We got to save the moles. Okay. You know, before we know it, they'll be out of moles. good question.
Well, all right.
No idea.
Mark, good luck. We appreciate the call. Did you ever meet Dr. Scholl?
Dr. Scholl has been dead about, 100 years now or 50.
So that's a no?
When I was going to my medical school, they gave $5 million and they changed the name to name it after Dr. Scholl.
Oh, yeah?
I wrote my book because there's not been another name and feat since 100 years, since Dr. Scholl. So
now,
hopefully we'll become the next Dr. Scholl, Dr. Tumen.
All right. And Scholl was quite, where was Scholl
based? He was a medical doctor. I don't know where he was based, but he was a medical doctor, took a liking to feet, and bought out by Shearing Plow, and it's just another product.
I didn't really want to imply that you were very old. I didn't know if he was still alive or not. Let's go to Kathy in Del Mar. Kathy, you're on.
Hello. I have kind of gone around the corner and back again with my foot issues. It started out that I broke a toe, so I started going to a podiatrist. And then some years later, probably 3 or 4, I was having heel pain and was diagnosed with plantar fasciitis. So I've had shots of cortisone. I've been prescribed oral medicine to just basically treat the pain, and nobody's really ever looked at doing anything more. And finally, this last doctor that I went to told me I really need to get good shoes, go to this store, buy these shoes. I spent $140 on a pair of shoes, and they were great for the first week or so, and then the heel pain went away, and now I have pain at my big toe joint on both feet. So now my pain has shifted to a different place. So I have an appointment to go back to the doctor mid-January, and I just want to find out what I should do. Do I need x-rays? Do I need...
Yeah, so here's the thing. Plantar fasciitis is a challenging thing, Kathy. And certainly an x-ray can show the bone. Do you have a heel spur? Not that big a deal if you do or you don't. But one of the things we do in our office is we do what's called an ultrasound, which will look inside the heel to see if the plantar fascia is inflamed. Sometimes even after that, an MRI can be helpful to make sure you don't have a stress injury to the heel bone or micro tears to the fascia. A treatment that we do in our office and multiple offices is something called radial pulse therapy or shockwave therapy, which will do something which is called angiogenesis, create new blood flow, and actually heal a chronic plantar fascia.
Oh.
So it's no longer plantar fasciitis. So we used to do a lot of plantar fasciitis surgery. We still do cortisone injections, but I love shockwave therapy or RPT, radial pulse therapy, because it actually heals the plantar fascia and gets it back to normal. So you can look into that and talk to your podiatrist about that procedure.
How new is RPT?
Shockwave treatments have been around for a while now, Ray, but RPT, we've been using the last 2 years, and it's just growing. Athletes, you know, they used to travel to Europe to get it done.
Right.
Now they can get it done locally. So there's different things to heal things as opposed to disrupt it.
Well, Kathy, thank you very much for the call. We'll jump over to Saratoga Springs. And Lisa, you're on.
Hi, guys. Season's greetings. What a great show. First of all, just my own personal thing for that Mark before. New Balance, you can order 2A narrow online, and they've helped me immensely in their running shoes. So that's number one. Number two, I've been making an argument with a lot of the younger girls. I'm 61. With a lot of the younger girls I see at work wearing ballet flats, they can't be good for your feet. So I wonder if you could speak to that. And then my third thing is just me. I have just been diagnosed with serum negative RA. I just got new orthotics from my chiropractor, and I wear running shoes, Danskos or Birkenstocks most of the time. And I just wondered if there's any foresight you could give me about my newly diagnosed RA, anything I should do to keep my feet out of pain. So far, they're good right now.
Well, Lisa, season's greetings to you as well. And it's great you're looking after your coworkers and having them have healthy, happy feet for the new year, too. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of ballet flats unless you're doing ballet
right.
or you're at home in a nice cushioned environment.
What about bowling shoes?
Bowling shoes? Yeah. The bowling alley. I think that's right. great. Well, as long as you have a bowling shirt on.
Okay.
And mine used to say Ray on it.
Yes.
So we used to always get our good bowling shirts with great names. Anyway, so RA, certainly it doesn't have to affect the feet. It might. And of course, it depends. Some people it affects small joints, some big joints. And other times, it can go into remission and never bother you. So hopefully you're one of the ones, Lisa, where you don't get a lot of problems from that. And you're doing things to protect your feet. Nice, thick-soled shoes, cushion shoes, and inserts to protect your feet. So that's the things that you can do to make sure that you maintain healthy feet that last you a lifetime. So that's wonderful. And if everybody's at a desk, probably not a big deal to wear ballet flats, but if you're in an office that's busy and bustling, everybody's all over the place, it's not the best shoe to protect the feet. We live in a concrete world. You know, it's called the Industrial Revolution, and
yeah.
we used to work on grass and soil. It didn't matter what you wear, but now it does. So protect yourselves.
Excellent. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank
Have
you,
a nice
Lisa.
Holiday.
You too, Lisa. Thanks for the call. And now we go to Amy in Massachusetts. Amy, you're on.
Hi. Happy holidays to you.
To you.
I am one of those people who has the post-antibiotic tendonitis. My Achilles tendon has never stopped hurting. It's been about a year, actually a little more than a year, and I am wondering if it will ever go away or if my risk for rupture is greater.
That's a great question, Amy, you know what? It's hard to answer everything. So here's my recommendations. First of all, I've had a lot of patients with that, and many get better. And sometimes we do things to help them get better. Certainly, you know which antibiotic you're on. Don't go on it ever again. Anti-inflammatory
right.
physical therapy. But I will tell you that this radial pulse therapy treatment we do for plantar fasciitis is also done for Achilles tendinopathy. And we've healed a lot of people with that. Heel lifts are important. Inserts are important. So there's lots of things that you can do. You sound like a young, active person. So please do not let it just ruin your life. It can be improved. And most of our patients do get better.
I love that you say I sound like a young, athletic person. I am moderately active, and I'm 65. So thanks for that.
Great.
But, do you have a recommendation? I wear dance goes when I'm at work, and I do some sitting, some standing, some walking, or something with arch support. Are you recommending other inserts?
Potentially, yes, with a heel lift built into them, so the heels are elevated, taking stress off the Achilles tendons.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you.
Best of luck, Amy.
Thanks.
Have a good one. Over to Seth in Gilderland. Seth.
Hey, thank you for your show. Two quick questions. I know you touched on the ingrown toenails. What's the best way to cut the big toe, the shape of the toenail, to help prevent it? Because I got a mild ingrown. And the second question is, when I get my foot up there to trim them and stuff, a lot of times if I bend my toe down, the arch of my foot will cramp, and then we're on to something else, and I can't do it.
Good questions. And, you know, first one, cutting the toenail straight across is usually recommended. If people have ingrowing toenails, sometimes you have to round the edges and go into the corners.
Yeah.
So it depends on the person. Mostly I have to say without seeing you, cut it straight across. As far as the cramping goes, yeah, you put your foot in an awkward position, whether it's stretching in bed at night or, you know, trying to get them up closely so you can cut the toenails. Cramping is a muscle spasm. You got 19 muscles in the foot, and some of those muscles will go into spasm. Stand up immediately and get your foot on the floor. It'll get the spasm gone as quickly as you can, and make sure people who suffer with cramps take extra magnesium, maybe some calcium, vitamin D, and best of luck to you,
Seth. Yeah. Well, thanks, Seth. According to the back of your book, 26 bones, 33 joints, 19 muscles, and 107 ligaments.
Yeah. Amazing, huh?
Yeah, that's
a lot. Why we're busy.
It's a lot of work.
A lot can go wrong.
Cha-ching, eh? Good for you. All right, let's see. Karen in Amsterdam. Karen, you're on.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I have a question about PRP therapy and joint or cartilage damage. What's your take on that?
Well, PRP, let me go back to what it stands for. Platelet-rich plasma injections done for knee problems and different foot problems like plantar fasciitis. I would say it's about 50% effective in my hands for things like plantar fasciitis. When I have things that are more effective, I tend to use it not as much. But people do use it inside of the joints. You know what? I'm not usually a big fan of that inside of joints. So will it help? It's worth a try. It's usually non-covered, but I can't say that I'm a huge fan of it for arthritis and joints. It's more, in my mind, for soft tissue. Now, we get into things like stem cell, things like that down the road. That might be more helpful for joints. So, but good question.
All right.
And it's up to you, Karen, if you want to pursue that.
You know, the platelet therapy, you often hear, and for the last several years, ball players would go, and you, as you say, they would go to Europe and have platelet therapy. And now it's legal to do over here. And in what's the science behind it? Where are we seeing the results?
Well, basically what you do is you take somebody's own blood from them, you spin it down, and when you spin it down, it separates, and it separates out to the bottom where there's many growth factors, and then you take that part and you re-inject it, and the theory is those human growth factors will trigger healing into tissues that need it.
That's the theory, but what are we seeing as far as results and scientifically tabulated results?
I think it's about 50% is what I see.
But it's okay to do.
It's okay to do. There's really no harm. It's your own blood that you're re-injecting into painful parts. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any downside. It's just the, you know, the financial aspect of it.
All right, let's jump over to Shelburne, Massachusetts. Tom, you're on with Dr. Douglas Tumor.
Well, good afternoon, Dr. Ray. How you doing?
Hey, good.
Hey, I'm a walker, retired. I was doing a couple miles a day. I had to chase my dog one day down a hill, and ever since then, my four smaller toes are hurt, and right at the ball of my foot, sometimes feel like I'm stepping on a huge rock. Other times, it just hurts. Mm.
Got it. So, Tom, recommendation, please go see a podiatrist. You probably have either a bruised metatarsal or a metatarsal that's out of alignment with the possibility of a little nerve impingement as well in the area. It can be helped. You don't have to suffer with it. So I would get it looked at, get your foot x-rayed, and make sure your dog stays on a leash. And happy holidays to you.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thanks, Tom. Over now quickly to Lynn in Schenectady. Lynn, you only have about a minute here.
I will be quick.
Okay.
I have a Morton's neuroma, doctor, and it's kind of mild at this point, but I'm trying to think ahead because it does seem to get worse as I go on, about conservative treatment versus injections versus surgery. And I wondered if you could speak about that.
Yeah, start with conservative therapy, wide shoes like the Ultras we talked about. Any shoe that bothers you, just make a note of it. Thin sole shoes, usually worse. And moving into arch supports or orthotics might be helpful as a conservative therapy. Massage might be helpful. Injections can be very helpful. And of course, surgery is the last resort, but a cure just about all of the time for that, Lynn.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Lynn,
right,
very much. We appreciate the call. You know what? Let's jump over to North Pownell very quickly. Jim, you're on. You have about 15 seconds.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to everybody at WAMC. You guys are a lifeline. That's it.
I love it, man.
North Pole. Hey, may I just say quickly, if somebody didn't get their question answered, they can contact me online.
Yeah.
Either at our office, hvfa.com, or at my website, askthefootdoctor.com, and I will get back to everybody who has a question.
And it's a cracking good read here. I was thumbing through it. Ask the Foot Doctor by Dr. Doug Tumor is the book, Real Life Answers to Enjoy Happy, Healthy, Pain-Free Feet. Doctor, have a great rest of your holiday season. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, and Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to all.
Support comes from the Joint Replacement Center at Adirondack Health in Saranac Lake, providing tailored orthopedic procedures and rehabilitation to residents of Northern New York. Better health, better lives, AdirondackHealth.org. Once again, thanks to Dr. Douglas Tumor of Hudson Valley Foot Associates for joining us today. Thank you for calling. I'm sorry if you were left on the line. Thanks to Zach Malloy for his sterling service at the controls today. Thanks to Joe Makowitz for answering the phones, and to our producer, the absent Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Fox Pop will take a break tomorrow and Wednesday as we celebrate Christmas. On Thursday, we'll welcome back meteorologist Jason Goff to answer your weather questions. If you have any complaints about the weather, always good to save them up and to give Jason Goff a hard time. It's really, it's good, clean fun. Thanks for listening. Happy holidays to you. And for Pete's sake, if you're going to drink, do not drive. Be careful out there. Stay tuned now for the Media Project.